Blog Talk Radio.
What I'm saying to you this morning, my friend, even if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, going out and sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures, sweep streets like Handel and Beethoven composed music, sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote portraits, sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who...
Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me.
Tonight, Brother White.
Yeah, I'm here.
Before we get started, I want to share this with you.
Go ahead and talk.
Pastor Ed up in Minnesota had a testimony where she brought her son died and she brought him back alive, spoke it, and it happened. And she said she's going to testify to that.
Yeah, let them tell. You're okay. Go ahead. Look, and you know, I wanted to say too. Did you go to the conference in St. Louis?
They moved it to New Orleans because
when?
It's in New Orleans now.
Oh, it's going on. What day is it going to be then? I may ride down there.
It started Monday. It's going to go all the way to Friday.
Oh, okay then. Because God has been giving me some things to you know, to tell the people and raise awareness of that, they're going to have to raise the awareness of Luke 6:38. And
yeah.
see what has to happen is that what the people got angry, but now they were emotional, but you know, it ain't in Christ. You need to put your emotions aside. And
that's right.
What needs to be done is, see, we need to come together and decree a thing. In other words, decree Luke 6:38 in us, and in that officer, decree that Luke 6:38 will be working in him, because see, God and give me, Bishop, that he that man, see, that he didn't put on that man's conscience. What that man did is an evil thing. And yeah, he has. Okay, right, he has. But then, see, he has an evil conscience.
I want to share this with you, Brother White. I was in the spirit for one of my shows, and angel told me, and I was with Michael and Raphael, and they carried me in the spirit, and they showed me saints dressed in white praying. And he told me that they pray every day. Now, up a little fire was angels with wings. And he said, these angels go back and forth. And he looked at me and said, reason the world got destroyed the first time, and even Solomon Gomer got destroyed, because the fallen angels fell down on earth. They begin to have sex with humans. That's where Goliath comes from. Now,
Goliath.
When David cut his head off, he was a giant. He had five brothers, a giant, because the fallen angels were having sex with humans and animals. Now, to go to show you why. That, tell me that. They said, but they are the earth realm. They can't go up in space. They can't go to heaven. They is limit to earth realm, angels, fallen angels.
Uh-huh.
Now, when God got ready to destroy, told Lot to come out of Sodom. Now, I wonder. When Lot said, I got two daughters, they virgins, you can have them. But the people said, we don't want them virgins because they've been having sex with fallen angels.
Okay.
These angels, the God angels, wasn't fallen, so they gave, he was the Holy Ghost, and they blind them. But that my theory is, that's why God had to destroy the whole city. Because the fallen angels had infected animals, the people, they was killing, because that was in the midst. They were working with Satan. So God destroyed everything. Now, look at this, Brother White. God destroyed it with water. He didn't take nothing but Noah's family, because them angels had, tainted everything.
Uh-huh.
And we're getting to the level now where people are being tainted by angels, or you call them celestial forces. But I want to carry you back a little bit further. Look what happened to black who were hung on the tree. They said strange fruit is on the tree. Look what happened to Money, Mississippi. In Mateo,
McGill.
And these were police officers killed these folks. He was
stabbed
down in the heart of Mississippi. So
that
murdering spirit is still real.
Absolutely,
and
but you getting that now? You coming?
And
you coming to it now? You coming? This is a spirit we're fighting, Bishop. Your phone going in and out.
If we don't pray, we can't master that evil spirit. You can't fight. Only God. Only God.
Absolutely. You come in. Hey, look, but your phone is.
Go ahead on.
I was telling you, your phone was going in and out. But Bishop, I know the Lord is leading you because see, he been dealing with me on the same order. And then there's a woman down in Jamaica. She said that spirit is down there in Jamaica. And she was telling me, she said, what people don't know is that it's going to start being white. And look, she did not know. She was down in Jamaica now. But she did not know about this man Foley that these Isaac people are killing. God is revealing to me. He revealed to me that it was that it is changing and that it's going to be white folks being killed too. So, see, that spirit done gone over to them now, but it take people over in Iraq, the Isaac people, that terror group. See, it's the same thing. They are murdering innocent. What they're doing is they're murdering innocent people. See, it doesn't make any difference who's doing it. The spirit finds whoever, that evil spirit is finding whoever he can to do it, and that's because, whatever you covet, you're going to have it, brother. That's the way that is. The sin of omission is all of the white folks ain't coming out together and say, look, I know that there are some whites, and I'm not coming down on them, but my thing is I really need to come. I want to come down on blacks. That's what I want to come down on because, see, we should decree, like I said, whatever we want from God, if it's healing, you got to bring it to God. And especially
right.
When God tells his people, look, he say, tell your people for them to become aware of Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto me. But it's got to start with us first. It's got to start with the individual first. Then you keep saying it, and just let it, okay, everybody you see, you tell them about Luke 6:38. And see, what that's going to do is that's going to raise the consciousness of everybody. And you see, once the consciousness is raised in you, then it's going to be employed in you. So even the jurors who are going to be
Amen.
Killed, if God done told me that he can touch all of them. He can touch everybody. And he can
That's
touch
right.
everybody. And when he touched them, it ain't going to go unnoticed to them that he touched them because, see, then he's talking to them personally. In other words, he's going to let them know they cannot condone this by letting that man go. And if they have anything to do with it, they're going to have to come out on the side that he's telling them to come out on the side, or they're going to be turned over to a reprobate mind. He says, see, to hear the word, huh?
I agree with you. That's right.
Amen. Well, we have to decree that Darren Wilson be held accountable in accordance to spiritual accountability, in accordance to Luke 6:38, where it says, give, and it shall be given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run it over, shall men give unto his bosom. For whatever measure he meet with all, it's going to be measured back to me and him again. And the Lord told me, he said, look, touch and agree with the people. Because when you touch and agree, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, there I am in the midst. And you see, if two of us shall agree as touching anything on earth we have, it shall be done for them of our Father which is in heaven. So, see, we need to touch and agree that this man will be held accountable in accordance to Luke 6:38, and we are decreeing this. In other words, we are establishing this specifically so that God can attend to it.
I agree with you like that, but let me tell you something. That man, I don't think he did nothing wrong.
But Bishop, Let me tell you something, brother. Don't you believe for one moment that old boy ain't scared. Old boy is scared. You hear me? Don't think he ain't scared now. He wouldn't listen to me. I saw where he done raised. See, God let me see certain things. Where he done raised $100,000 for defense. If he ain't scared, why is he raising it? He's scared, Bishop.
The people getting it to him that is prejudices and racist.
Yeah, they're going to give it to him because, see, I'm going to tell you something. You see, I told you that he going to get charged. The reason he's going to get charged is because, you see, the federal government is turning over every rock, looking in every crevice and every crack in that town now. And see, the only way they can show, the only way that accountability can be shown is that they have to take him to trial. See, if they don't take him to trial, then the people in charge of the municipalities and things like that are not being accountable.
Well, they're crooked.
Yeah, they're crooked. But then, what if everybody get crooked? Then the government ought to indict everybody.
Well, I want to tell you what happened in Chicago. The police been shooting people, dropping guns on them,
yeah,
shooting women without knives and shooting young boys. The Justice Department said they're not investigating the Chicago Police Department. And I'm going to tell you, Ron Manuel is a crook, and the chief of police in Chicago is a crook. And we need people to write letters to the Justice Department, ask them to investigate the Chicago police. They done killed 86 people, and nobody said a word about it. Up in Detroit, they done killed 10 people. Ferguson just won. They done killed about 5 up in New York. See what I'm talking about? They, you know, my thing is, that's one when you got the other fellow police brother is killing them by 10 or 12. This
right.
one got busted. The rest of them is picking up to drop a gun. Here's a woman 60 years old, and she on medication. 6 police come, all white boys, and they shoot the woman 7 or 8 times because she got a butcher knife. Here's a boy over in Inglewood, over in London, now over in
London Town?
He was right there on Stony Island. So that, he was over there. And
Stony Island around 95th somewhere?
No, Stony Island around 63rd down that way.
Okay, all right.
He was in Woodlawn. He was in Woodlawn.
Yeah, I know where one of our neighborhood is.
The boy took some drugs, and he had a hammer. Threatened the police with a hammer. They shoot and kill him 6 times. No investigation. The man come on the TV while he was threatening the police. How can I threaten the police if 6 or 7 police there, and I got a hammer? If they can't take me, what I got a hammer, they got to kill me.
How come they couldn't jam him in the leg?
They're using deadly force on the citizen, and Jesse Jackson, ain't nobody saying, the mayor, ain't nobody saying nothing. We have police using deadly force on the citizen in Detroit, Chicago, Ferguson, Mississippi, Baltimore. They're using deadly force. They ain't trying to name nobody. They shooting to kill. So
yeah,
they are the devil.
Yeah.
I mean, this is real.
Well, that's what.
These are demons. These people get the job to kill black folks.
That's what they do. And look, this is a conspiracy,
and
man.
And they work in the black neighborhood. They work in the black community.
That's what they get their jobs in our community to kill us. That's exactly what they're doing.
And that's what's happening.
Yep.
I'm not prejudiced. I'm just calling out what it is. And the FBI. The Justice Department, under a black president, have not come up Chicago, just like New Mexico. In Mexico West, they were shooting citizens in Mexico. In New Mexico. The Justice Department come in and shut the police department down because of politics in Chicago with wrong men, that the Justice Department is not coming in. And brother, this is serious. Chicago is worse than Ferguson. There's one black guy killed, and it's 86 black men got killed here in Chicago.
Yes, it is.
See, in Detroit, on the east side, two people got killed. You know, what I'm saying, if the police are going to serve and protect, they got to be concerned about the citizens. They're not concerned about the citizens.
And the
politics of Detroit and the politics of Chicago. The politics of Detroit is so nasty, they lied and said Detroit was broke. The biggest lie ever been told to America to say Detroit is broke with Chrysler, Ford, and General Motors. That's a lie. They were a lie company. Now, I want to say this. Chicago and Ron Emanuel is running over people. Done closed down 75 schools. 3,000 people have been laid off. He making deals under the table. He tell blacks, I'm going to set some playgrounds. We don't want no damn playgrounds. We need something more than a playground.
Yeah.
We need some jobs.
And
he's bringing
people from
Mexico. He bringing people in from Mexico, getting them jobs and getting them medical and getting them credit cards. Ron Manier is doing that right here in Chicago. And black is not upset. I got to go to God. I have to go to prayer because people can't see what's going on.
No, they see, Bishop, the Lord is showing me, man, look, we need leaders. And he's telling the people who are communing with him every day, God is beginning to show them things that are going wrong that ain't nobody bringing forth. Ain't nobody stepping forward.
The leadership is sort of like we had 500 kids marching for McDonald's against McDonald's. Ain't no black leaders come out. Where is the leaders at? They are not there because they got paid off to be quiet.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly what the problem is. But I guarantee you, I want you to just keep on hammering, and we're going to keep on hammering. We're going to put our heads together. Look, he'll use the people like us because he know we are the ones that really care about the people, Bishop. He know that we got enough sense and enough knowledge about him to see what's going on and to see that the people are selling folks out. And to see that the folks are going along with the police killing us, man.
What ICE is doing over in the Middle East ain't nothing they're doing right here in Chicago to black folks and Detroit and Minnesota and up in Ferguson.
It's worse.
And ain't nobody saying nothing about it.
It's worse because they're doing this to their own citizens.
That's right.
The police are just, we are going through the same thing as the people in the part of the Syria and Iraq where ISIS is, because they're killing us. They're doing the same identical thing to us that they're doing to the people that they're cutting their head off. They're killing us.
That's right.
The end result is that you're leaving this earth. And you ain't speaking no more. You ain't breathing
no more.
That's the whole thing in a nutshell. It ain't a matter of how you left here. It's you leaving.
Well, I want to say this, brother. I'm going to let you get on to your show. I have to share this.
Right.
White boy getting his head cut off over there in the Middle East, what about the boys getting shot down on 63rd?
That's exactly what the Lord is showing
on
me.
On the west side of Chicago getting shot down. Little babies are getting shot down. Well, ain't no different. Death is death. And ain't nobody speaking out. Yeah, the FBI need to come in and investigate this whole erupt system called Chicago Police. We got a chief of police that been here, ain't did nothing but lie. Every time somebody get killed, he lie. Here's an 86-year-old veteran get killed by a policeman living next door to him. Don't nothing get done.
Well, where are the black
Chicago. So why the president is going to be so intent about 2 million get their head cut off, and over the weekend, 86 blacks get killed
right
in Chicago.
Right. Now, I agree with that, President, because law has been showing me the same thing. Law has been showing me the same thing. How can folk get so upset about somebody getting their head cut off because they're white? And all these black folk being killed and shot by the police, and ain't nobody saying one word.
Ain't nobody saying a word.
No, they're not.
Ain't nobody opening their mouth.
No, they ain't.
Where
but
is the culture? Where is the civil rights organization? Where is the social hustler? Where are those? See, what I'm saying to you is God got to intervene. Now I want to say this, Brother White. I'm gonna give you the show. I want to give Milwaukee a hand clap and Indiana because they said what they don't believe in same sex marriage. They believe in man and woman, and they told the Justice Department and told the court we don't agree with two men in the house. Or two women in our, it's got to be a man and a woman. We don't want it in Indiana. We don't want it in Louisiana. And we don't want it in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I think that
Amen.
Is the best thing ever happened. Somebody stand up against these homosexuals that's up in the court, up in the making laws, like the governor of this state right now. He's running back for governor. He the one passed that gay bill. And that's abomination for God. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It's
Amen.
Man and woman. And,
Amen,
and I'm going to say it again. It's Adam and Eve,
not Adam
and Steve.
Yeah,
God
you got
made it. Man for woman and woman for man, and man and woman can make a baby. Two men can't make no baby, and two women can't make no baby. They're
no,
sinful. They abomination before God, and they're going to die because the Bible says it's abomination for God. And we got to deal back with the Bible. And these storms and floods going to come because they disobeying God. It's a divine law, Brother White, and it's a divine law, the Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Hey, look here. All you, let me just say this, Bishop. man, listen to me. The Lord has shown me over a year ago that the floods and the things, look, see, he showed me like, okay, See how Chicago is right there. We see you well familiar with Chicago and the subway system. Where you see if a strong storm bear down on Lake Michigan, see the it's gonna push the water up out of Lake Michigan and push it up over into the push it out of the Michigan over into the land
downtown.
and fill up the subways and all that kind of stuff. He showed
it
me that about...
It happened in New York already.
I know he did. That's what I'm saying. But
it's
going to
happen
that...
in Chicago. These people are so weak at God. These people are so weak and disrespect God so. And I'm telling you, it's a move. It's a move. And it's got to be demons. It's a move to bring two men in a household. It's a move to bring two women out of... It's a move to break up husband and wife. It's a move throughout this country. And it's an evil move. It's sinful. And the preacher's supposed to be on top of it. They're being quiet.
Hey, really, Bishop, let me tell you something. God knows you're right, boy. Listen. You say it. Let me tell you something. Did you use the word simple, S-I-M-P-L-E? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
God done showed me, man, listen to me. God has showed me the same thing that he's showing you. And he's showing me, he said, look, I ain't no complex God. He said, I'm as simple and as lower as the lowest person you can find. Because I can touch anyone. And you are
Amen.
Exactly right. That ain't nothing but a demon. Because if you get all men in a household all over the world, then you're going to have, what's going to happen is the whole race going to become extinct. So you are exactly right. That's exactly what these demons are trying to do. They're trying to cause that homosexuality spirit. All that thing is doing is it's trying to stop doom life, man. Because if these people take over, if that becomes the majority, then look, it's pretty soon you won't have nothing. Because they can't have no baby.
This is what a gay judge said downtown. He said, is it better for two men to have the children or two women, man and woman? The people of Indiana said, we want a man and a woman, and we don't want no two men over no children or two women over no children, because
right.
They're going to make them homosexual and rape them and right there in the house. But see, the welfare system, the child families, they want to give all the children to, they're so crooked. They want to take the children from a man and a woman and give it to two men. Or take it from a man and a woman and give it to two women. That's how corrupt. And can't nobody break this up but God.
No, that's absolutely. I can understand why you're so upset about that, too. Because that's absolutely ridiculous, man. I'm serious. That just don't make no kind of sense at all.
Our young folks think it's all right because they ain't being taught in church. In Sunday school, ain't being taught. They ain't being taught black history no more.
No.
They ain't being taught that over 6,000 people was thrown overboard on their way from Africa. When they got here, they hung them and burned them and lynched them. And then the Jews hollered, never again. And they talking about 6 million Jews. We're talking about 100 million blacks been killed. Right here in Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia, Chicago, Indiana. And we done forgot it.
And this been going on forever.
Yes, Lord.
It's just this killing and stuff has been going on forever, Bishop. It ain't never stopped. And
they had to kill Dr. King. Dr. King was the voice of God.
Yep.
And of truth and justice.
Yes, it was.
And you know, and what hurt me that his siblings was fighting over the Nobel Peace Prize. They want to sell it. Only his daughter, which is the baby daughter, Alberta, the baby daughter, Bernice, said, I'm not going to sell Daddy Bible. I'm not going to sell Daddy Nobel Peace Prize because it ain't mine. It belongs to the people. Meg Elbert, Mickey Swan, all in that died in the movement.
Yeah.
See, the movement is still real, but we ain't got no leadership.
No, we don't.
And in the movement, Brother White, it was prayer in the church.
Yep.
And people got together, but now they done turned off. Church ain't nothing but a social hustle. It ain't nothing now but a place to go have a good time and go back home and don't deal with the problem. We got a starvation problem. We got a problem where people are starving here in America right now. You got the government paying people not to farm. And then, you know, like you in the farm and you got horses and cows and come to farm. See what I'm saying? They're bringing meat from China that's corrupt. They're bringing chicken from over Bangladesh. They got the chicken bodies and putting that on the market. Burger King doing it. McDonald's selling kangaroo burgers. And just putting them all this stuff in the black community and don't want to give the people $15 an hour. They don't want to do that.
No, they don't.
They're ripping, and then Burger King said they want to move to Canada. They need to go get some people in Canada going to buy their hat, going to buy their burgers.
Well,
there's a lot going on, but Brother White, I'm turning back over to you.
Okay.
With the program.
All right. Well, then I'm going to continue with talking about the conscious. The conscience of the believer. We were talking about intuition and communion, which are the three organs of the spirit. Intuition receives things from God, communion, we talk to God through communion, and the conscience is what God uses. It's his judgment in us to let us know when we're right and when we're wrong. And well, the last thing when we left off, we were talking about the inward monitor. It says, judges us to be wrong. We must be in fact be wrong. And when it condemns, let us repent immediately. We must never attempt to cover up the sin or bribe our conscience. Whenever our heart condemns us, we can be less condemned, although by God, since God is greater than our heart. Now that's 1 John 3:20. It says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. But anyway, let me just pray too before we get started. Father God, we just come tonight to say we thank you for another blessed opportunity to talk about your word. We just thank you for all the things that you've done for us since we was together last Thursday night. We ask forgiveness of all of our sins, our trespasses, our iniquities, and our infirmities, confessing, Father, that we do fall short, and we have fallen short, but we do know we have the blood of Jesus, which atones for the sins of our soul 24/24, and has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And, Father, we know that our heart has been sprinkled from an evil conscience, in that we do not see ourselves as going to hell as sometime in the past we have. And if we do, we must confess our sins to Jesus, that must confess that Jesus is the Lord of our life, believe in our heart that he died that he was raised up from the dead. And we ask that you give us that so that we will understand that once we confess Jesus Christ and we understand that the blood has atoned for the sins of our soul, Father, we know that we are not condemned to go to hell anymore. We ask that you guide us through the lesson tonight and protect us and let us not just be hearers of the word, but let us be doers of the word. We don't want to be deceived. We thank you now. Bless everyone who's listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And we always want to put out in front, too. The Proverbs 2:1 says, my son, and it means my daughters too, if thou wilt receive my word and hide my commandments with thee, the two scriptures that will do that for us is John 14:26. It says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance. And the other one is John 13:34. It says, one commandment I leave with you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And when we do that, which is the command, we will have 2:2, Proverbs 2:2. And it says, so that thou wilt incline thy ear to wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Meaning that we will hear God's word, we'll hear every word, we'll hear what it says, and we will settle back, relax, and allow the word of God to be interpreted by the Holy Spirit in us, and we will hear. All right, now continuing with the conscience. What should we do when we are wrong? Cease proceeding to do the incorrect thing, and if we have not yet done it, repent, confess, and claim the cleansing of the precious blood. If we have done it already, it is to be regretted that so many Christians today do not follow these rules. Immediately after the reproof of their inner voice, that they lay plans to quench its protest. They usually employ two methods. One is to argue with it, trying to marshal reasons for their action. They suppose that anything reasonable must be God's will and will be considered by the conscience. What they don't understand is that conscience never argues or reasons. It discerns God's will through intuition and condemns everything which is not according to him. Conscience speaks for God's will, not for reasoning. Christians ought not to walk by reasoning, but by God's will as disclosed in their intuition. That is, whatever is brought to you. And things will be, as you go further into this, things are going to be brought to you that are wrong. And the way to increase that to the God talking to you is to obey the voice of the conscience. And then things will start happening. If you disobey, then things get quieter. You obey, things get louder. Christians ought not to walk by reason, but by God's will as the close in their intuition. Whenever they disobey any movement there, conscience raises its voice to condemn. Explanation may satisfy the mind, but never conscience. As long as the issue condemned is not removed, it shall not cease condemning. Amen. All right. And during the initial stage of a Christian walk, conscience only bears witness to right and wrong. As spiritual life grows, it bears witness as well to what is of God and what is of not God. Although many things appear good to human eyes, they are nonetheless condemned by conscience because they do not originate with God's revelation, but are initiated instead by the Christians themselves. Now, I just want to stop right there, and I just want to comment on that. See, your conscience will get into what is from God and what is not from God. So my conscience did that some time ago, and I'm not saying that to boast or anything like that, but see, God gave me a long time ago and to give others too. See, if you are concerned as to whether something is coming from God or not, one good way to determine that is to determine its origin. If you think back, where did the thought come from? Like if I was talking to someone and I would say to them, well, let's go across the street and rob a bank. Well, they say, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to rob no bank. Now, that's really good. But if you further question them to try to find out where's it coming from, now, that could be the devil talking to them. Because if they said, well, I don't want to rob the bank because we might get caught and go to jail, then that's an earthly reason that they don't want to do that. A godly reason for not wanting to do it is that I wouldn't want nobody to rob me. See, that's coming from inside of you. That's the best reason, because you don't want to do unto others as you'd have them to do unto you, or give, and it shall be given unto me.
Amen.
So that's what is meant by what I just read to you there. Okay, the other method, this is method number two. The other method is to ease the conscience with many other works. To solve the dilemma or refusing to obey the inner voice of accusation on the one hand, but continuing to be afraid of his condemnation on the other. Now, see, I believe all of us have gone through these kind of things. Believers resort to many good works. They replace God's will with laudable deeds. They have not obeyed God, yet they insist that what they now do is just as good as what he has revealed, perhaps even better, broader in scope, more profitable, greater in influence. They highly esteem such works. God, however, deems them of no spiritual account whatsoever. He looks neither at the aggregate of the fat nor of the number of burnt offerings, but solely at the sum of obedience to him. Nothing, regardless how commendable the intentions, can move God's heart if the revelation in the Spirit has been neglected. Doubling the concentration will not silence the accusation, accusing monitor. Its voice must be followed, that and nothing else can ever please God. Conscience simply demands our obedience. It does not require us to serve God in any spectacular way. So you see, what conscience does is it's a monitor. It's just telling you, matter of fact, it's really telling you, hey, look, you saved. You know, you ought to think about, since you're saved, you ought to, if you're really trying to please God, look like to me some of the things that God has told us to do or has spoken to us in the Bible would come to mind. Like, for an example, he said, let that mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now, I think if people just thought about that real hard, meditated on that a little bit, they kind of like, how can God tell me that I got the mind of Christ, to let that mind be in me that was in Christ Jesus, if I don't have the mind of Christ? See, that's how my chain of thought was taking place. And then I investigated further. And when I investigated further and started attending to some of the scriptures, looking at the word, that scripture that says, our mind is enmity against God. I looked up that word enmity. Enmity. And it means that our mind hates God. Our natural mind actually hates God. Then if your natural mind really hates God, then see, thinking fast, or then you say, well, if our natural mind hates God, then what in the world am I to do? What am I to do then? You are to get rid of the mind, just like he said. Put the mind of Christ on. And you can do that. You don't have to do a whole lot of things. You read John the 17th chapter and see what Jesus prayed. To let us be one with him. God wants us to be one with him. But we have to step out on that. Start saying, I got the mind of Christ. I got the mind of Christ because God said I got the mind of Christ. And then once you start saying things like that, then revelation knowledge will, then you'll start finding that God will start revealing things to you, but they are for you. Through the mind of Christ, through your inner man. He'll start revealing a whole lot of things to you, and when you check them out, they come out to be okay because they are of God. You see, it can be composed of the words of God. It doesn't have to be necessarily the scripture, but it can be just because it's of God. Like a witty invention is of God. You use the scripture that God give you that tells you that might, we are supplied with might by the Holy Spirit. Well, if we're supplied by might by the Holy Spirit, then I can decree that the inner man, that our inner man, whoever is agreeing with me, that our inner man release might in the heart, that it be picked up by the blood and delivered to all the parts of the body, all the cells of the body, strengthening those cells. That is just one example. It says, let us therefore not deceive ourselves, and walking according to the Spirit, we shall hear the directions of conscience. Unfortunately, I can't talk to you, but I'm certain that every one of you that's listening, I'm certain that these things that I'm talking about, they have happened to you. Do not try to escape any inward reproach. Rather be attentive to his voice. By constantly walking in the Spirit, we are constrained to humble ourselves and to heed the correction of conscience. That's absolutely the truth. If you start listening to your inner man, you are going to, if you continue to listen to him, you begin to really obey him. All right?
And they'll be blessed.
Yeah, you're gonna always be blessed. Always, always. And you're gonna heed the correction of it. And God should not make a junk. We should not make a junk confession by acknowledging their innumerable sins in a vague manner, because such confession does not provide conscious opportunities to do its perfect work. They ought to allow the Holy Spirit. We ought to allow the Holy Spirit through our conscience to point out our sins one by one, humbly and quietly, and condemn them of every individual sin. Christians must accept this reproach and be willing, according to the mind of the Holy Spirit, to eliminate everything which is contrary to God. In other words, once you start obeying your conscience, your conscience will begin to lead you in a manner that will clear up a lot of things in you. And what you're really doing is you're clearing up things so that your intuition can go to work. And once your intuition go to work, then you start getting a lot of revelation knowledge from God. Are you reticent to let conscience probe your life? In other words, are you willing to let conscience probe your life? Dare you let it explore your real condition? Will you allow it to parade before you one after another all the things in your life as they are beheld by God? Will you grant conscience the right to dissect every one of your sins in case you dare not, in case you are not willing to be examined? Then does not such drawing back prove that there remains many elements in your life which have not been judged and committed to the cross as they ought to have been, that there are still matters in which you have not wholly obeyed God nor fully followed the Spirit, that some issues continue to hinder you from having perfect fellowship with God? If so, you cannot contend before God that there is nothing between you and Him. Amen. So, see, brothers and sisters, listen to me. This is like a self investigation of yourself, internal investigation of yourself. Like policemen have an internal investigation of what's going on. This is an internal investigation of you. You go to God and just ask Him to investigate you. I mean, just talk to the Spirit and tell Him you want to, you know, you don't want anything in your, you don't want, I've said, like, I had things in me that kept coming up in me about people. I asked God, I said, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, anything that you see in me that ain't right, I ask in the name of Jesus that you remove them from my conscience, because I don't want anything interfering with me serving you. Now, see, it's not that I'm so holy and everything like that, but the things that you know to do, we ought to do them. And when God, see, when they come to your mind, then take care of them right then. See, many of us have things coming to our mind that we should do, but we just have not got the revelation from Proverbs 4:1, where God says, "Hear ye children, the instructions of a father." Because see, these are instructions that He's given us, and attend to no understanding. That's what we gotta get. We gotta get down pat. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding. So that once we gotta get to understanding, and the only way you get to understanding is you gotta start with knowledge. When you leave knowledge, you get to wisdom. See, knowledge is the word of God. Wisdom is what God's word says, or wisdom is revelation knowledge to you too. See, if God is saying something to you, no matter how He's saying it to you, it's wisdom. See, wisdom comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. All these things come
right
by hearing. Hearing is the most important
thing it is.
Absolutely, Bishop. It's the most important thing there is.
But I want to give you this here too. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all the other stuff." It says, I'm going to share this with you where you can explain it. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all the righteousness." I give you, first you got to walk like God, you got to act like your God, and you got to know it, and all the other stuff, your car, your home, what you want. God will give it to you. That's for you. It's in the golden rim. You got to put it down by faith.
Absolutely, Bishop. And Bishop, I want the people to understand this. When you look, what do people think come with wisdom? Do they think wisdom just come with nothing? Man, look, wisdom. When you seek, like you just said, when you seek ye first the kingdom of God, you're seeking His wisdom. When you seek His wisdom, that scripture itself, if you just put that scripture in you and keep every time that scripture come up, just say it. Ain't nothing but good things going to happen to you. Look, Solomon had all as much money as he needed. I'm telling you, I don't want to be bragging or nothing, but God give me what I need. I'm not down here a pauper, a pinch and penny, and I'm not bragging. But I just want people to know. I mean, I walk with that stuff every day. I walk with Proverbs 2:1 and 2:2 every day. And I'm telling you, hey, look, you have a good life. And that's what I want folks to understand. If wisdom, 4:10, Proverbs 4:10 says, "He who finds wisdom finds long life."
Uh-huh.
But you gotta have your mind can't be short. You got to have the mind of Christ. If he say long life, then look, what is it that stops long life? Sickness.
Sin.
Sin. Right. So see, look, if God say if you find wisdom, you find long life, then he must know something we don't know. He must know something that if I find wisdom, he said, if a boy down there find wisdom, then all this stuff that Satan got up the road here for him, where he gonna get shot and all this kind of stuff, where he gonna get AIDS and all this kind of thing, then if he say wisdom long life, then he must be gonna direct my whole life in another direction, Bishop. Now that's the way I see that. Now, and look, if I'm wrong, I want to get feedback on what I be saying. If I'm wrong, I want folks to tell me I'm wrong. But I can't see nothing wrong with that. If you tell me in Proverbs 4:10 that when I find wisdom, I find long life, then I must be gonna be skipping over a lot of stuff that's out there waiting to get me.
He said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The word of God. You got to walk in it, talk in it, act it every day.
You got to do it. And above everything else, and we don't really have an excuse, Bishop, because he say love has a multitude of sins.
Right.
Now, if you walk in wisdom, see, half of wisdom is walking in love, loving one another as he has loved us. The other half of wisdom is if thou will receive my word. And you got those two scriptures that's going to do that for you. That's why I want everybody, that's why you have me hopping on that all the time, Bishop. I hop on it every day, everywhere I go. I want people to know about wisdom. And I want people to know that... God says, if anyone who lacks wisdom, let him ask. Meaning that if he asks, we gotta ask in prayer. Wisdom can be conveyed to people by prayer. In that prayer,
right.
When they touch it, if I pray a prayer of agreement with a group of people, then all of those people who agree, God gonna expose expose them to wisdom, and all they need
right.
to do is just keep speaking the scripture, and they keep hearing God's word and keep hearing what God's word says, and that's what I want people that's my desire, is to give them what God has given me to give them, and that's wisdom. Now I'm gonna stop that, Bishop, but we continue. And I'm going to get on into the a good conscience next time. See, this is the conscience of the believer. But we're going to talk about the characteristics of a good conscience.
Right.
Go ahead.
Solomon didn't pray for money. Solomon prayed for wisdom.
Yes, he did.
If you got wisdom, you got money, you got healing, you got everything. So people have been praying the wrong prayer. Oh, God,
yeah,
give me a car. So God, give me wisdom.
Right.
Give me wisdom to overcome. Some people get rich.
I consider myself wealthy. I really do. I consider myself wealthy because I have minor things that happen to me like everybody else. But man, I had this week. I had a problem with my knee. But I can walk on my, ain't nothing really happened to me. Because I prayed and put my hands on myself and talked to God about it. I don't act as strange when something happened to me. I want to know what's going on.
Right.
Why ain't I being healed? Because I was healed.
It's like by his stripes we're healed.
So you have to expect things from God.
You got to say, you got to say, all is well. You got to say, I'm healed. I'm delivered in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm healed. They got to use the name Jesus. If they don't use Jesus, brother, they ain't getting healed. They got to go to the Son, because the Father lifted up the Son and said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him.
Right.
So when you hear him, you hear me.
Right. And
it's important for somebody to say, well, Lord, give me a car. Give me some money. Say, no, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. I set up a business. I can feed some folks. Look at him before.
He don't want us coming to him. Car. He don't want us coming to him asking for no dime every day.
That's right.
Man, listen, Mr. Tyler. Look, that's the mind that hates God. See, we got to get rid of this mind, man. Hey, look, this thing ain't, I keep trying to tell folks, this thing ain't complicated. This is simple. We got so much power, man, and we're just suffering things that, we're suffering things needlessly, Bishop. All because we don't care, him to him.
Here, let me tell you what happened. The man, the white guy had an old cow. He said, do you want this cow? And the man said, I'm going to go out and kill him. The boy said, I'll take it. He carried the cow home and had a bull. And he carried the cow home. I'll tell you what happened. The cow had some more cows. And what you noticed, he had a herd of cows.
Amen.
The white man come back to the farm and said, where you buy that cow from? And see, that's what happened. So that was wrong. So
amen.
The man was working, and that's what he was doing. See, and that's what was happening with that. See,
amen.
This is what was going on. See, this is what was happening when the white guy went back to see the guy. He said, well, boss, I don't need to work with you. I got cows, having cows.
Amen.
I got two bulls. Some bulls are going to buy and head my cows, so I'm farming myself. See,
amen.
See, all
amen.
The boy prayed is, Lord, give me wisdom. And he took the cow, he fed the cow, he rubbed the cow down, he picked some nuts up for the cow. And for us, the cows started having more cows.
Right on.
You know what I'm saying? If you tell God give you wisdom, he'll heal you from cancer.
Yes,
it ain't nothing
yeah,
God
will.
Can't do. All that medicine the doctor give you, doctors is all right, but Dr. Jesus will give you sense. He said, take all this him.
And see, most of all.
In Detroit. He was selling pills. He was over medicating people, giving too much of pills. And some people didn't have sense to take them. But if you got sense enough, you know it don't take you no 20 pills to knock out an infection. You know
no.
It don't take 20 pills to heal you. You can take one pill and pray with that pill, and God will take that one pill and heal you if it's got
Amen.
Power. See,
Amen.
It's very important to pray for wisdom. Go on, Brother White. We're going over
yeah,
the business.
Just,
go ahead on.
That's okay. I'm glad you echoing what I see that's important. It see, look, Bishop. Even if we had wisdom, and see, we would be operating in the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge. That's what I'm trying to get to. That's what Jesus operated in. Jesus operated in the spirit of wisdom, revelation knowledge, and in the power of might. And that's
Amen.
What it's gonna take. That's what it's gonna take for us to operate in. And see, once we start operating in that, see, once you start operating like that, then you forget that you are a human being. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to forget that we're a human being. Because, see, the human part of us is not like him. It was at one time when he came here, but now he wants us to see ourselves as they are. We are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the scripture says. So, see, once we start seeing ourselves like that, even though we're still in the body, we didn't leave Earth yet, and we're still doing some things that... here and there that might hurt us or cause us to fall. But God is perfecting us as we go day by day.
Amen.
Amen. So, anyway,
Brother White, your lesson is so exciting. People have been calling from Mississippi, Arkansas. People enjoying what you're teaching because it's not new, but the preachers ain't teaching it. And I want
no, they're not teaching that. No, they're not teaching
that. Listening to you, I want them to get involved on Thursday. Bring your pens and paper because you're going to learn something.
Amen.
I ain't going to take them from the church, but I want them to know how to walk in the way of God.
That's what I tell everybody down here. I'm not trying to. I don't want nobody's. Listen to me. I don't want to break up nobody's church.
That's right. But we want
them
to have truth.
Hey, look. I just want people. I want people to know the truth. I want them to have somewhere. I'm gonna be a judge. I'm gonna try to get a nice building down here, and I want to dedicate it to the people. I don't even want to be the preacher in it. I want somebody else to be the preacher. I just want to be a prophet. I just want to be the prophet in the house. That's all I want to be.
You already prophet now. But you already prophet now. But I want.
Oh yeah, I know that. I'm talking about in that house.
Yeah, but look, it's time for people to start their business. And all this chaos, I've been telling women and men, start your business. It ain't personal, it's business. Because if you can start your business at home, you can help somebody. You can't help nobody that don't want nothing. You can't help nobody if being nervous. You got to let that amount of they want. But you got to stand strong in the word that we're giving them tonight. If they read that Proverbs, if they read Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, all the stuff that the devil stole, he going to give it back to you. I don't care what your mama said, what your brother said. This is what the Bible says. Now, I just want people to listen to the word of God tonight.
And Bishop, and look, all they need to do is just put that scripture that you just told them. Put that scripture in them, and we done already give them. See, the one scripture that you really need to walk out of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, John 14:26. You need that in you.
That's right.
I mean, that's one half of wisdom right there. Put that John 14:26 in you, and that scripture you just found, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Man, if they keep saying that, what you think going to happen? Do you think the opposite of what the scripture say going to happen? I don't think so.
All that the devil told God going to restore and give you revelation knowledge to how to set your business up and go to college. God going to give you the right people around you. He's going to put favor on you. I don't care what. Don't listen to nobody talking negative. They talk negative.
And how to keep.
Say,
how to keep yourself alive, how to
That's
keep
right.
yourself alive, and how to keep your children alive. Now look at me, okay, we're not bragging, but I'm bragging on the Lord. Me and you both, you brought up children in Chicago, right?
That's right.
Ain't nothing happened to them. Yes.
Ain't nothing going to happen because they covered under the blood of seed Abraham. Look at your children.
But you decreed that, Bishop.
You got to say the name of Jesus, they're healed and they're covered under the blood of Jesus.
But Bishop.
One lady called me. She was in Arkansas. She said, my son is in jail. It's good. He looked at me. What you mean good? If he was out, he'd be dead, so let him stay where he at. Don't mess with it. He wanted me to get him out and let him stay. There's too much going on. The cousin got killed, and the sister asked, how come he got killed? Me to let my son stay until he do his time. Sometimes God put him in them places to protect
them. Yeah. Amen. Because they sure ain't being protected with their conduct outside.
That's right.
They're going into all these places where they shouldn't be going. And you know, and look, man, if people find bullets in a certain area and you go in there, you must want to get killed.
That's right. My thing tonight, and I'm so glad that you come on the air tonight, to let people know you can't wait on nobody but God.
That's all.
You move. Ain't what mama said, what sister said. It's what God said.
And we need to learn, we need to put the Holy Spirit in us and let the Holy Spirit teach us and stop. I'm not saying don't go to Bible study. I'm not saying don't go nowhere to learn. But you need to have the Holy Spirit teach you. God is a jealous God, Bishop. He don't want you listening to me and doing everything I tell you to do. He want me to tell you what he's saying.
And you do what
he tells you to do. He want me to tell you that what his words say is wisdom, is God wisdom. What my words say is Christ wisdom, human wisdom. There's a difference. He has not given us human wisdom. He say in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, he say he didn't put that in us. He put his wisdom in us.
That's right. And another thing people got to understand, when God tell you to do it, it's going to be all right. A man built a church in Louisiana. And they said, did God tell you? No, he built it. He died. They asked me, Bishop, how come he died? He built this new church. Because God didn't tell him something he did. If God tells
right.
you to do something, God is not going to leave you. God
right.
ought to build an ark. God will know it all the way. If God tells you to start a business, he ain't going to let the devil come and tear your business up. He ain't going to let you die because you got a job to do. If
right.
God is talking to you. Is I'm right?
That's
right. If God tells you to do something, God ain't going to leave you in the midst of it.
Absolutely. That's why I want to read why I got this job, because God told me to do it, and it's longevity. This job has longevity. It has good friend benefits. When you deal
Amen.
With that wisdom, you understand that you are wealthy, Bishop, and when you are wealthy, you start acting like you are wealthy. You start talking like you are wealthy, and you start receiving wealth. Mark 11:25 or 4, it says, believe ye receive, and ye shall have. That's what it says. So we got to talk what we want.
Amen.
And we will have what we say. That's Mark 11:23. Whatsoever we say, we'll have it. All right, look, I'm going to have to get off here.
We're going to get off the air now, but I'll see you next Tuesday. I'm going to play this in for all to open our eyes.
Okay, guy. All right, you have a blessed night here.
Okay.
Father, open eyes that we may see to burn. Oh.